When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to be. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Perez, waking Atlanta up to the true threats to our liberty every Saturday from 3 to 6 right here on 95.5 WSB. We are listening to a breaking story about a shooting in El Paso, Texas, in possibly a mall, definitely a Walmart. We don't have all the details in, but we are following the breaking story, so stay with 95.5 WSB for the details as they emerge. And Binkley, you had an interesting point. This happened in a Walmart?
Yeah, one of the shootings was in a Walmart, it sounds like. And I think most Walmarts have a gun and knife section. I don't know how easily accessible those are, but I wonder how that factors in.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see when we get all the details. But WSB is going to be on top of it, so stay tuned. People who are also on top of things, you listeners, thank you so much for, it's my birthday, yeah. And I asked people to subscribe to my YouTube channel because, I hope I told people this in case there's anyone who thinks it's a bad idea, I love craft cocktails and I love crafting cocktails and I want to share my enthusiasm in a way that will not get me banned from YouTube, like exercising free speech for important political reasons. So I'm going to try to be neutral, and just have some fun and start a cocktail channel, cocktail series. And I ask people to go to YouTube, find my channel, Monica Perez, and subscribe. I need 1,000 subscribers to monetize the videos, and I already have 815. Thank you very much. So I just need another 185 people. Over the next 2 hours, let's try to get to 1,000 by the end of the show. I would love that and appreciate it. So I am, of course, taking calls on the subject of the day, which is the Democrat debates. And also, what I think is much more important than who's president is the debt, which is growing no matter who takes office. So that's a problem. Trump signed a big budget this week. Massive deficits continue, even in a booming economy and peacetime. There's no excuse for it. So I'm happy to take calls on that as well. 404-872-0750, 800-WSB-TALK. First, Binkley, if you would give me a tweet, and then I'm going to go to some calls.
Alan tweets, "Happy birthday, young lady."
Thanks. Is that it?
That was the tweet from Alan, yeah.
Thank you. That's an awesome tweet. I love it. I was hoping there was no punchline, but that's great. I think he threw in the young lady part as my birthday present. All right, so let me I got some old regulars on the line, but I love them, so keep them coming. Let's go to Tariq. Tariq, what you got for me?
Good afternoon, Monica. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And bless your parents for the day they conceived you, birthed you, and nurtured you to help you become the person that you are.
They really did. All the good stuff I can attribute to them, and all the faults I have to take ownership for. I work hard on the faults as well, as you can tell by what I want my YouTube channel to look like.
Yes, it sounds like you got a little politician in you. But anyway, first of all, I didn't even listen to the debate. I don't need to listen to the collective, no matter what they're doing. It's just a waste of time. I'd rather use my time to do other things because I know people like you that have to do your programs. I don't know whether it's Hannity, Limbaugh, et cetera, et cetera. Regarding the debt, this is a disappointment for me because it's clear that the founding fathers didn't intend for us to have all these collective driven entitlements, for instance, that really accelerated when it started accelerating when, around the time of Teddy Roosevelt, especially Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt had the Social Security system. And the more they get, the more they want. I will give that to them. They have been tenacious. We just need to push back. You know, the debt, whether it's debt or using the military overseas in a lot of different scenarios, that's clearly not what they intended. And they debated that. I remember in my readings, if I recall correctly, Thomas Jefferson, that was one of the problems he and Washington had, because Thomas Jefferson wanted us to align with France when they declared war on Britain just a few years after the Revolutionary War. We were barely free, and there was those problems. So it's real disappointing, but my sincere prayer is that eventually, and sooner than later, like next budget, he'll start reversing that behavior. Because I realize part of the problem is a lot of the Republicans, too, have been socially engineered by the collective also. That's why they couldn't even get the money for the wall when they had all three. They had the legislature and the presidency.
Yeah, I have a couple of comments on that. I think I have this thing. It's called the contrary law of democracy. I put it in my glossary that it's the parties do what the if they have to really get something done that their party doesn't like. Only one of your own can do it. I did a hashtag. It will take a Republican. Gun control will take a Republican. Continuing spending after the Obama doubling of the debt, that's going to take a Republican. And I think Republicans like to be not in charge so they can act like they're fiscal conservatives, but assure the people who depend on big government spending, hey, I'm going to vote no, but only because I know it's going to pass anyway. Actually, there was a lot of talk about that in the budget system situation this year, is that they actually were doing some horse trading to see who got to vote no, something like that. I did want to give a quick rundown. I don't want people to have to wait on the phone too long, but I want to give a quick rundown on what our budget is. They say it's like a $1.3 trillion budget. That's not federal spending. Federal spending is $4.5 trillion. These are real rough numbers from like a kind of projection. Don't necessarily reflect exactly what's in there right now, but it's basically correct. Stuff is not even included in that, such as the pension, Social Security and stuff, which is over $1 trillion, healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid, which is over $1 trillion, interest on the debt, which is almost $500 billion and climbing. So the 1.3 is really some of the defense budget, like $700 billion of the defense budget, even though defense is close to $1 trillion. Now, that defense budget is more than the rest of the world combined, our adversaries and our allies. I mean, at the very least, if you simply had all the spending of all of your adversaries, plus you had allies, you should be safe if you're doing anything right. So I've got ideas about that I won't get into, but right at this moment. And then the other stuff is welfare, education, stuff like that is what it's part of the discretionary spending. And it's almost all deficit. So every penny that we take in is basically accounted for by stuff that's considered non-discretionary. And everything else is deficit spending. And there's no reason for it. What's the reason for it? We're the richest society that ever existed. How are we borrowing from the future? It's disenfranchisement. They're not voting on it. It's taxation without representation. It's 100% wrong, and there should be a balanced budget amendment. Sorry. That's just my opinion. Even conservatives are like, no, we don't need that. It's if you just followed the Constitution, yeah, but, you know, they're not doing it, so. Or we could just restore the Articles of Confederation, which did absolutely not allow for even, I think, taxation. Anyway, don't get me started. getting myself started. Okay, so let me go to Maurice. Maurice, talk to me. You got some dirt on Nexium or what?
Well, I was just going to make a linkage. One of the things that, you know, is like an bizarre educational new age entity, sexual blah blah, and one of the things they did is they take the women and force them to watch stuff like Clockwork Orange, like, you know, snuff films and all these kind of things. So what I'm getting at here is that it's sort of like an MK Ultra operation. And what I want to do here is make there's a linkage directly to Epstein, because, you know, Epstein funded all of these research scientists, and some of which, like a guy out in Portland, I believe, you know, the scientist of the year is busted for pedophilia, right? So what I'm getting at here is that they're using human subjects, and it's like a giant, super giant elite process where they, I mean, I have no idea what it really is, but all I'm saying is it's much more diabolical than just pedophilia.
Yeah, well, it seems like it has some real connections with the, or I should say parallels with what Epstein was up to, in that it's not just like they always focus on what Epstein did with these young women. He had a taste for them, whatever. I think that's why he got the job, but I don't think that was his job. I don't think he was even this huge billionaire. I think his job was to put together powerful elites against whom certain individuals or entities wanted dirt, wanted control over, wanted blackmail on, wanted information from, and paired them in this illegal sexual situation that was easy for them to want, because they weren't like prepubescent girls. They weren't boys. Like, it was just like young women who were underage. And so in their minds, they were like, well, whatever, you know, like it wasn't really necessarily deviation in their minds. So that's why it could have such a broad impact among the elite. So I can definitely see how having farms like this could be useful in a kind of process where you control people. Because even these people say, like with a conspiracy theory, the one thing people ask me all the time, if there's something that I say, hey, the official narrative is not true, something else happened here, they say, well, how could you keep the people who are in on it quiet? This is the kind of thing that they do. From what I have read, I think there's many cases where they will set you up for blackmail or not include you in the game if you can't be blackmailed. But I found a pretty direct reference, a connection with Epstein, or more direct. The Bronfmans were undisputed participants in this NXIVM scheme. And Bronfman, I believe, was a part of the scandal that got Epstein fired from that bank, the investment bank he worked at years ago. So I know that they knew each other. Now, I don't think, I have not come across any closer connection between those guys, but that's one degree of separation. You know, it's a lot closer than I am. So I do find that stuff quite interesting, and I think there's more to it, but that's kind of dark and I want to keep it light. So I'm going to go to the break and I'm going to keep with the calls that we want to talk about the budget, debt, Trump, and the debate. So hang on, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, or you can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
And now for something completely different.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Going to the phones, going to Bonnie in Athens. Bonnie, you are on with Monica.
Oh, thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, I don't think that Trump is without a lot of faults. I mean, a lot of faults. But I still have to support him because of all the Democrat candidates supporting abortions and even late-term abortions, and the socialistic things that they support, and the Medicare for All, which I would lose my insurance through my employer, and it also costs the country like $93 trillion. And there's so many other things that they're just this left-wing liberal crap that they're spewing.
Yeah,
and I'm
I agree.
Very conservative,
I agree
Christian.
With you 100%. I that the Democrats are way worse. Like, I'm not even saying that at all. I mean, I am not. But that is the problem with this two-party system. But I want to emphasize the healthcare thing. I don't the numbers that I was seeing, like we have a clip, maybe I'll get to it, where Kamala Harris was saying we've spent $3 trillion in healthcare a year. It's going to go up to $6 trillion. I looked at the numbers. Medicare and Medicaid is over $1 trillion, and it covers about a third of Americans. Mm-hmm. So if it was Medicare and Medicaid for all, it would be over $3 trillion, probably four, could go up to six. And I had to like just stop and think about that for a second. If it's $6 trillion for Medicare for 300-something million people, that's $18,000 a person a mm-hmm. year in healthcare when we only spend an average of $2,600 a year per person on food. What yeah, is yeah. wrong with us? Every person, not old people, not babies, everybody.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I mean, that, I'm totally with you on that. And I agree with so many of the things you say, but I just cannot support a Democrat.
No.
I mean, every one of them are just so nutso.
Yeah, you're right. And I do. And what I love it when people disagree with me, because, look, people are calling about the debt. You're not going to win an argument about Trump if we're talking about debt. But you are going to win it if you're talking about Medicare for all. So I like it. Bring it. I'm not a hater. I'm really doing great on the YouTube drive. Go to my YouTube channel, Monica Perez. And I've already got 852 subscribers. I'm going for 1,000. Let's keep checking in. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez.
It's like everything I've been brought to believe was all made of bull.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
I am waking Atlanta up to the true threats to our liberty every Saturday from 3 to 6 right here on 95.5 WSB. We are hearing this breaking story of a shooting in the Walmart and maybe even a mall in El Paso. Every single time there is a tragic event like this, and I'm saying every single time to my the way I'm thinking about it, it is the story becomes framed by a policy issue. And there's always going to be a punchline in it, whether the facts get twisted to accommodate it or just get spun, I think is a better way to say it. These tragedies get exploited. This obviously is near the Mexico border, could go to the border issue, could go to immigration issues, could go to that drug cartel. What is it? The
M13. MS-13.
Yeah, that I've been waiting for that to make the news. Could go to the fact that Walmart always has a gun department and Texas is very gun friendly. So I always expect and am always proved right that these events get immediately exploited for policy purposes. So get ready for that. And stay tuned to WSB as the details emerge and the story unfolds. So... but I absolutely am determined to stay cheerful on my birthday. And I am running this drive for my YouTube channel. If I get 1,000 subscriptions, I will be able to monetize videos. And I want to do fun videos about making cocktails. So if you don't like cocktails, don't judge me. Don't have to subscribe. But if you love cocktails and want to share my enthusiasm, go to YouTube and look for the Monica Perez channel and subscribe. I also tweeted it at Monica Perez Show. Binkley, what's the number?
We are at 867 right now.
Wow. So I need only 133 more?
That's correct.
And we're halfway through the show?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could get, let's try to get 33 by the top of the hour.
Try to get to 900 by the top of the hour?
Yes.
I think we can do it.
I think so. It's up to you. If you're listening, you're like, she'll make it. I'm not going to make it without you. all right, let's have a tweet, and I'm going to go to a call, and then I want to play some clips.
We have a tweet from Chronic the Agorist Hedgehog, who tweets, if I get this home brew thing off the ground, can I bring some to Atlanta and have you review it and make a cocktail with it? And then he puts a photo of the what looks like delicious home brew.
I would love that. I would love that. A friend of mine, her dad makes a wine called Lojo, and it has got some punch in it. It is not punch, but it packs a punch. I really like the home brews. As long as the real like bathtub stuff that makes you blind, I don't want, but I want the real deal. So yes, turn me on to it. I will be ready, willing, and able anytime you like. And we can maybe even do a video together. How fun would that be? So I also want to go to like local bars and learn how to make like my favorite cocktails. There's like award-winning cocktails here in Atlanta that I want to pursue. Maybe I'll get an inside track. They're not going to give me that. I sit and ask for the recipes. They don't give me the recipes.
You could be the next Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a touring bartender.
You know, are you trying to trigger me? I think, are you trying to trigger me? Because you're doing it. I question the veracity. You know, I think about her story because I was a waitress for a long time. And I worked at a place where you made your own drinks. I always basically worked at a place where you made your own drinks. So sometimes you'd be behind the bar because there was nobody there at the time. And I remember it was a little fib-like, I think, is that I used to would tell people I was a waitress and a bartender. But really, I was only a bartender because I was a waitress. I would make you a drink if you bellied up to the bar, but mostly I was just a waitress. But it was much cooler to be a bartender, as I recall. So her story originally was that she was a waitress, and then that, I've said this before, and I'm convinced it's true, after that Austin craft cocktail bartender got on Jeopardy and made it seem cool and that he was super smart and knew a lot of stuff, and don't belittle the bartender because they're the sharpest tools in the shed. Then her narrative changed from waitress to bartender, by coincidence, perhaps, at that moment. But then I told you, if I ever interview her, I'm just going to ask her one question.
What's that?
What's the difference between a flip and a sour?
Oh, you're going to challenge her bartending skills.
Yeah. See, I wasn't going to reveal that, but after the first time I said something like that to you, she then like went on a bartending tour, and you could see her like shaking drinks behind the bar, which is kind of a pain to use the Boston type shaker. So she clearly did get lessons, or does know. Maybe her story's true. but actually, one of the stories I read about the place she worked for 4 years did not exist for 4 years. So I'm not saying she's lying, but that article was not true. Anyway, so I think it's too late for me to catch her, you know, give her a little zingy Sandy Ocasio. Yeah, totally derailed. You know, I get distracted because I really do love the whole, like, it really makes me forget my troubles to focus on the art of the cocktail. I am going to go to Drew in Decula. You are on with Monica.
Happy birthday, Monica.
Thank you.
I have to agree with you that this debt is a crazy crisis, and how we can't control our debt in great times in our country is really disheartening.
It's terrifying, right?
There's no political way to get a hold of any real debt, any budget debt. There's just no way to do it. Donald Trump, when he wanted to cut HHS by 5% last year, that kind of rolled down into Meals on Wheels, and then it became a veteran story.
Why do you think he abandoned the sequester? We had it in the bag. At least the sequester we could have maintained.
But even the sequester, they continued to pass temporary things that went around the sequester.
I know, but you might as well toe the line. He didn't even have to sign it. Obama never signed a budget, I think, in his entire first term.
I don't know. I mean, I listened to Rob Woodall the other day, who said he was going to go vote for it even though he didn't like it because it was just the best of both worlds. And I the other part I agree with you on is this whole idea of military spending. We continue to say that, well, we need to spend more, and we're underfunding our military, but we're spending more than every other country combined. And so either we're really getting ripped off, or we're overspending in times of not having a war. And at some point, I'm just shocked about the whole thing, because I think what government's done is rolled down to the private sector. Now we have record levels of credit card debt again, record levels of student loan debt again, 7 million cars on the road or 90 days past due, record amounts of mortgage debt. I mean,
yeah,
we're at a place where it's penetrating our economy in every way.
Yeah, I have a kind of overarching theme that I'm noticing in the things that you're saying that I think is the fundamental basic problem. So when you say like everybody's doing it, everybody's getting the debt, the debt is at a very artificially low interest rate, or I should say, I mean, you could actually argue that it's not artificially low, but the fact is it's at historically low interest rates. It's 2%, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, just doesn't even seem possible. 2% as a 10-year treasury, where in 2010, after the crisis, well, I guess it was still declining, it was double that. And there was one point at which, during the early 80s, the 1981, where it was like, I think, 15%. If you had 15%, like seven times the entire, almost the whole entire federal budget, or all the federal revenue that we take in, would have to go to the interest on the debt. I mean, it's not possible if we have a crazy high interest situation. So for me, if you have free market for money, so that interest rates are not controlled and they actually respond to the supply and demand and the risk in the market. Similarly, so like you have a market clearing situation. Similarly, if last week people said, oh, I love Trump because he cut the taxes. I hate taxes, but I don't want tax cuts. I want every single person to feel the heat of the spending that we're letting them get away with. So I want to pass a balanced budget tomorrow. A balanced budget. And then I would even put in the balanced budget that you have to pay the debt down. But we didn't really, I mean, even if you just say, okay, balanced budget and let the debt inflate its way to death over time, a balanced budget tomorrow would raise taxes a lot. And people would say, hey, you got to stop the spending. And it's similar with the healthcare problem. When you disconnect the costs from the product, you get wrong decisions. People don't value stuff that's free. And I'm not just saying theoretically, it is absolutely true. If you think about what Kamala Harris said, $6 trillion in healthcare spending coming up like in the next few years. I mean, it wasn't even that far away. Maybe I can find the clip, but I did the math on that, and it's literally $18,000 per person. Not per sick little baby or per old person or person with an illness, per person. Whereas $2,600 a year is the average that you spend on food. So what is wrong? What is either so wrong with people, or what is wrong with the healthcare system, or what is wrong with the decisions that are being made? And the way health insurance, even if you want to allow people to share the risk of a catastrophic event, make that the insurance safety net, but make everything else what you pay for, so that you can make decisions about health and wellness on your own. And beyond that, they're like, some people aren't covered by insurance. It's like, you know what? If it's not poor people who can't, if these are regular people who can afford their, you know, they consume as much as they produce or less, then why can't they make these decisions themselves? They act like it's the humane thing to do to have universal health care, but the poor people are already completely covered. A third of the country is covered by Medicare and Medicaid. There's no reason to have more of that. And it's health insurance they're pushing. They're not actually pushing health care. They're not saying it's doctor's bills. They're pushing a financial product. And that's what's tax deductible. Just like your mortgage, your interest is tax deductible. Rent is not taxable. You got to think about this. They're pushing financial products. I believe that this whole system, I mean, I'm not the only one who thinks this, but like as I allow this stuff to sink in, I just can't help but realize more and more that all this stuff is about increasing debt, about feeding that financial beast. And that is, when you talk about us and them, that international banking, that globalism, it's all about funneling all the money and the power to the top. Even if it's not for them, even if they have enough money, it's for us to not have it. And it can bankrupt you. That interest would be all our extra money if the interest rates go up. Anyway, it upsets me. Frankly, am I reaching the right-brained audience or not?
I think you're reaching the right-brained audience. They're gonna have to stop and digest it.
You're my token right-brained person.
Okay,
but if people don't understand the right-brain, left-brain thing, because it sounds like right-left politically. But you know, I just think about the math that way. I just think about $18,000 per person. Per person. Doesn't that seem crazy?
Yeah.
Do you even want that? Like, I don't even think the results are there. It's like the military thing. It's like, I don't even think, if you compare to the rest of the world, that our health is better. This thing, the Hispanic paradox, which I've talked about before, the people who come and do not understand our health advice, do not have access to regular health care, live longer. And it's not related to their diet or anything. Like, they've accounted for those variables. So I actually don't even think it's good for you. I think it's that kind of a scam where the healthcare stuff is actually going to, you know, the more you get, there's like probably a Laffer curve of healthcare, like where the more you get, the sicker you get.
Right. With Chris Rock say they're not going to cure things because they make the money and just in treating it.
Yeah. I mean that, but that's a conspiracy theory. And now did you see those articles? People were telling us that the FBI is now after dangerous. They're calling conspiracy theorists domestic terrorists. We can get to that after the break. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez.
Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlantis News and Talk.
Going straight to the phones. You got 1 minute. You're on with Monica.
Happy birthday, Monica. It's Mom from New York.
Right on. My biggest fan.
I can't believe I got through.
I can't believe you had the nerve to call. I won't torture you, Mom. Thanks so much. And thank you for all your hard work bringing me into the world. It was not an easy day, as if I got my story right.
I do believe, but have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I'm always happy that you were here. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Mom. There you go. The famous Irene from New York. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
What a treat.
What a treat. And we made our goal of 900 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Let's make it 1,000. I need 1,000. Go to YouTube. Look up Monica Perez and subscribe. Jerry and Johns Creek, hang on. I want to hear from you after the break. This is Monica Perez.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.